This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are beginning the 11th juz. Okay, so we'll begin the 11th juz of the Quran, indicating to us that today is the 10th day of Ramadan and one third of it is now gone. So there's two thirds of this month of Ramadan that remain. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that are able to sacrifice, a little bit of extra time and energy to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ways that we had planned on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout this month of Ramadan. Today we'll jump right into the 11th juz inshallah, and I'll try to give a little more time for Q&A because it is a little bit of a struggle to try and get everything done within the hour and to also finish up before iftar. So we're going to start with verse number 103. So we'll finish off Surah At-Tawbah, and then we will cover Surah Yunus, inshallah ta'ala. Verse number 103 of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here how He commands the paying of zakah from the Muslims, from the believers, and how it purifies our wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take from their wealth, O Prophet, commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make sure that the believers are giving their zakah and to collect the zakah of the believers. Of course, to be distributed in the ways that we concluded with yesterday. When we ended our session yesterday, we ended talking about the 8 different categories of zakah recipients, right? The 8 different categories of zakah recipients. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, take from their wealth, O Prophet, charity to purify and bless them. So it is a means of purification, the zakah that we give. It purifies our wealth. And then he says, and pray for them. Surely your prayer is a source of comfort for them, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to collect the zakah and to make sure that the zakah is given. So the Muslims who owe zakah, who don't have, you know, they're not living in debt, they have some sort of savings that they've kept within them for, or they've kept with them for approximately a year, or a year, an Islamic calendar year, and has surpassed the minimum amount, okay? And that you can find, as I mentioned before, you know, you can go and check out the details there. Roughly, I haven't checked the price of gold in the last few weeks, in fact, in the last couple of months, but roughly about $4,000 some odd. So between $4,000 and $5,000 of savings that has been with you in savings for a minimum of 1 year. So it has to have surpassed 1 year. And once it comes to 1 year, you have to pay zakah on it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enforcing that upon us. And he mentions that it is a means of purification. So the wealth that we have, we need to purify that wealth as well. Just like we purify our nafs, right? We purify our soul. We purify our thoughts. We purify our intentions. We purify, the food that we eat, right? We make sure that we eat clean food, halal food, and not stuff that isn't permissible for us to eat. We purify our clothing. We purify so many things within the deen, that's what we're taught to do. Our wealth also needs a type of purification, and that is done through zakah. Now, that doesn't mean that the wealth that we own or the wealth that we earn is impure. Okay, it doesn't mean that it is impure, but it purifies our connection with our wealth. Okay, the connection that we have with our wealth. We feel that, you know what, this doesn't belong to me. This belongs to Allah. So this portion belongs to Allah. And the wealth that we've earned, well, as we'll see in a few verses from this one, we'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that we purchase Jannah for a specific price. Okay, a specific price. And so here, that is the advice of, or the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then something really interesting. He says, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to pray for them. Make dua for the people, right? Because that dua in itself, that prayer for them, right? When you say something nice to people, you say, جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, Allah يَجْزِيكَ الْخَيْرَ, Allah يُبَارِكْ فِيكَ, Allah يَفْتَحْ عَلَيْكَ, Allah يُنَوِّرْ قَلْبَكَ, right? When you make dua for people, it makes them feel happy, it makes them feel a lot better. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, pray for the people when he collects their zakat or their zakat is collected. And Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Then he says in verse number 104, do they not know that Allah alone accepts the repentance of his servants and receives their charity, and that Allah alone is the acceptor of repentance, most merciful? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question. Don't we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts our repentance? He forgives us of our sins that we've committed in our lives, in our past, and also possibly those that may be committed in the future, right? We don't know if we will commit those sins, so we can't really say that. But any sin that we do commit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's the one who receives our charity. An indication to us that Allah is aware. Don't play games. Don't pretend like you don't have to pay zakah. If you need to pay zakah and you qualify to pay it, then we should pay it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He knows what we've done. He's the one who accepts our repentance. He hears us when we call out to Him, when we don't let anyone else know. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to us and hears us and accepts our repentance, in the secrecy of our lives, in the privacy of our lives, and the isolation of our dua, then don't we think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knows about our zakah and how much we are giving, and if we are giving the true amount, and if we are even giving or should be giving at all? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of that, and that He is most merciful. Don't worry parting with our wealth, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a means of our purification of our soul. We are no longer connected to that wealth. We feel we've given it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we give to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more to us in return. Let's move to verses number 100. Okay, verse number 107 all the way to verse number 110. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the very first masjid that was built in Islam. Now, of course, the Kaaba is built and was built during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was already there. It was already built. So it wasn't built during his time brand new. The very first masjid that was built is Masjid, not Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid Quba. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating the story of the hypocrites and how they built a masjid close by together. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when He is describing the division amongst the ummah. He says, there are also those, and He's referring to the hypocrites, who set up a mosque only to cause harm, promote disbelief, divide the believers, and as a base for those who had previously fought against Allah and His Messenger. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Masjid al-Dirar, okay, that was set up for the hypocrites, by the hypocrites, right? And a place that promotes disbelief and encourages harm, right? And divides the believers, right? Divides the believers. Now, I wouldn't say that we have any masajid like that around us, but we do see that there are some times where a masjid is established and across the street, another masjid is built or another masjid is established. And that makes you wonder, why was there one that was established across the street or down the street or 2 minutes away? Now, I can understand in countries where the Muslim population is so great. For example, when I was living in Medina, you'd have a masjid at the end of one street, or if you go to the other end of the street, there's another masjid there. And that's because at the time of Salah, both of them are filled. So there's a need, there's a demand for it. But I remember, subhanAllah, many times in life, seeing masajid just pop up here and there, especially when we were younger. And we used to wonder, why is this happening? And why are people just opening another masjid? If our donations are going to one masjid and trying to fund and upkeep one place, why is it that we are now channeling them to another that's just across the street? Is there really that big of a demand? to have two masajid in the same place, in the same area. And sometimes what it comes down to is people's personal nafs. They can't control their nafs. They have these issues and grudges amongst others within the community, and they find the need, you know what, if I'm not going to be able to control these people or do things my way, then I'm just going to go across the street and do things my way and forget about them, right? But that's not right. That's not good, right? We're dividing the ummah. We should go somewhere else and establish a masjid somewhere where it's actually needed. Yeah, if people are not doing things properly in one area, then we need to try and encourage it and try to get that to actually happen. If you see that the masjid doesn't have any activities in them, then become involved, right? To try and get the activities to actually happen. But what we see happening, my brothers and sisters, is people going and opening masajid right next to one another in order to try and pull the people from that masjid over to this masjid. And I remember when I was traveling once, I went to a country, I won't mention which country or city this is in, but I went to a country and it was the most interesting thing. At the intersection, there was a masjid on the corner of every single one of those streets. So right at the intersection, you had a masjid on each one of the corners. And this was in a residential area. And I was thinking to myself, like, is there that big of a demand? Like, are there that many Muslims here? And it was because this group couldn't get along with that group. And that group couldn't get along with this group. And this group can't get along with that group. And that group can't get along with this group. And this group doesn't get along with that group. And so on and so forth. And so they just went and opened their own masjid and thought, you know what? This is just going to solve the problem. Let's just open our own masjid, have our own place and run things our own way. And khalas. But that's not the way we should do it, my brothers and sisters. I can see the purpose of doing that if, for example, this is not really a masjid. Or this is not, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or, there's a huge demand. There are so many people. The masjid is always full. Like, it just can't, it's just not accommodating for the people in the area. And I know I used to live in an area where you go to the masjid and it's so full, you either have to go into the basement, if there is space in the basement, or you're just praying in the doorway, outside the doorway, which isn't proper. Right? So the masjid was not big enough for the area. And so there's a need for a bigger masjid. And that's where either the masjid expands or, you know, not too far away in the same area, maybe a little bit further away, there can be another masjid that opens up to help accommodate for that influx of people that are living in the area. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that, you know, the hypocrites, they set up another masjid to try and divide the Muslims. And they will definitely swear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will definitely swear, we intended nothing but good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but Allah bears witness that they are surely liars. So you will hear people, you will see that people will say, but we only intended to do good. Oh yeah, really? You intended to do good by opening up this masjid right across the street from the others to divide the ummah is really why that happened. And so we need to, you know, it's hard for us to judge people's intentions. We can't know that, right? That's something that is left up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to be people that don't contribute towards the division of the ummah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, do not ever pray in it. So he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not ever pray in that masjid, that mosque that they established.